What about the situation in Ukraine? What do you think the United States should do there?
Well, I think the United States should do three things there. And this weekend in Munich, Ukraine was the central issue, because if you think about it, we've had 70 years of policy in Europe, which is to keep Europe whole, democratic, and free. And so what's happened, we had, the Budapest Agreement, which was signed by ourselves and Russia and Ukraine back in 1994, Ukraine gave up its nuclear weapons, 1,420 nuclear weapons. They gave up, with our three entities plus others agreeing to maintain their territorial lines. And so here we have this situation where Russia has broken that. We and the European Union certainly lured Ukraine towards the West. As you know, they signed an association agreement with Europe to begin dealing more fully with the European economy. And so what's happened is Russia has come in and severed Crimea and has been sending in, it's just a fact, it's not debatable, been sending in artillery, sending in munitions, sending in soldiers to basically disrupt eastern Ukraine. And so there are three things that we need to do. Number one, Ukraine is certainly in its time of need. They've got $2 million in reserves, $2 billion, in reserves left. Their economy, because of what Russia has done in eastern Ukraine, is plummeting. People are not willing to make direct investment in Ukraine right now because of the instability. So we need to work with other nations to shore up their finances and help move them ahead economically. And we're also working at helping them with their energy sector. As you know, that Russia basically has a lot of leverage over them, because that's where their gas supplies come from. And we've worked to try to lessen that reliability or that lessen their need to be so involved with Russia relative to that. But we need to help them fiscally. We need to, if especially these negotiations regarding the Minsk agreement that, Angela Merkel's here in the U.S. today with the president. She was last week meeting with Putin along with Hollande from France. And if this agreement falls apart by Wednesday, there needs to be additional sanctions by Europe and by the United States. And then thirdly, right now, Russia is sending in weapons and just is able to march through portions of eastern Ukraine, and they're on the offense. And at a minimum, we need to give Ukraine the defensive arms that they need to protect themselves. So, again, we need to help them financially. We need to help them by putting additional sanctions on Russia if this agreement falls apart Wednesday. And we need to also help shore up them defensively through giving them defensive armaments.
Potentially lethal defensive armaments?
Absolutely lethal. So far we've been sending them blankets and night vision goggles, and that doesn't work well with tanks rolling through your neighborhoods.
Fair enough. So, like, anti-tank then would be an example. What about? I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to ask, what about more offensive weapons? Is that a possibility?
Well, look, there's one of the things that we all know is that, Ukraine, while the people there are willing to die for their country, and they are, we also know that their military is not near as sophisticated as what we have here in the United States and what some other European countries have. And so we need to help them with lethal defensive support. We do, especially if this agreement falls apart on Wednesday. And by that time, it's possible, I think, while I question Angela Merkel this weekend publicly about her unwillingness to do this at this time, my sense is if this deal falls apart on Wednesday, she may change her feelings and Germany may change its feelings about this. But look, there are certain types of armaments that they are capable of using, and those are the types we need to supply for them to keep, again, Russia from just marching through neighborhoods with tanks and the artillery that they're using that right now Ukraine has no ability to withstand. Let me say one more time. We have to remember the United States and Europe lured them west, and that is what caused this to occur. This says a lot about us. Says a lot about us in that we signed an agreement back in 1994 where we agreed to protect their territorial boundaries if they gave up their nuclear arms. 1,420 nuclear weapons they had at that time. Other countries watching this, if we're not willing at this moment to be with them in their time of need, I assure you that other countries around the world will be very unwilling to give up their nuclear arms when they see what has happened. My guess is that Russia would not be marching into Ukraine today the way they are if those 1,420 nuclear weapons were still there. I'm glad that Ukraine was willing to give those up. But I think we need to remember this is not just about Ukraine. It's about us.
Well, this is the last thing I wanted to ask on foreign relations, but it sounds like there's quite a lot on the line for the U.S. in this situation. If we're sending weapons, it sounds like we probably would at least need to send some more advisors. How far do you think this could go potentially for the United States in terms of a military aid assistance?
I think there's going to be a tremendous effort to ensure that this does not end up being a United States versus Russia conflict. And so, look, I mean, we have people today that certainly are helping train the Ukrainian military. We're helping them to some degree with intelligence that we have. But I think none of us want to see a direct conflict between the United States and Russia, nor one that's perceived to be that way. But again, we've got an ally that we encourage to move west, to move towards Europe. The people there want their freedom. Chaz, I've walked down the Maidan, Independence Square, where people indiscriminately were shot by the government there. And I tell you, looking at the bullet holes in the trees and in the poles and knowing what happened there, where people just like America wants freedom and has freedom and fought for freedom, people of Ukraine want the same thing. And again, we've encouraged them to take the steps that they have taken. The least we can do at this time, when they themselves, not our troops on the ground, they themselves are willing to die for freedom and die for their country, I think the least we can do after encouraging them to take those steps is to ensure that as Russia pumps soldiers, pumps all kinds of munitions, open boundary between them and Ukraine, sending in all kinds of munitions, I think at a minimum we could provide them with some additional defensive arms to try to protect themselves.